This is an interview with Stephanie Kabitz for the Youngstown State University Oral History Project, Gulf War by Angela Celio at 4604 Rhode Island Drive on October 16, 1991 at approximately 6:15 p.m. Okay, Stephanie, tell me a little about your childhood. Tell me a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in a town called Toledo, Ohio, a rural town. I went to school there till kindergarten. Then we moved to Pennsylvania, then to Ohio, back to Pennsylvania, back to Ohio again. And I ended up at Kirkmere. I was starting there in fourth grade. Then from Kirkmere, I went to Volney, then from Volney to Cheney. Graduated in 85. Started at YSU in September of 85 and graduated in August of 89 with a BS and VA. And I'm still looking for a job right now.
Are you employed anywhere now?
I'm working at Sandy's right now and in the pharmacy, but really has nothing to do with my degree, but I'm still looking.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about your family.
My mom is a waitress. My dad is a train dispatcher. I have two brothers. Chad is 17, he'll graduate from Cheney this year, and Brett is 21.
No sisters.
No sisters.
Okay. Okay, and you recently got married, correct? When did you get married?
September 14th, 91.
Okay, and who is your husband then?
Oh, Jeffrey. he's in the Navy. He'll get out December 14th of this year. Looking forward to it quite much.
How long has he been in the Navy?
He went in December 14th of 87. Went through boot camp before that. But went to Norfolk, Virginia, December 14th of 87, and he will get out of the Navy December 14th of 1991. He's in communications, radar, stuff like that. He's what you call an operations specialist.
Okay. So he's the person then that served over in the Gulf?
Yes.
Okay. Tell me a little bit about how you and Jeff met.
Jeff and we knew each other. He went to Cheney too, and he was a year ahead of me. We knew each other just, you know, in passing, but we worked at McDonald's together in Boardman for a couple years. And we talked on and off, and we wrote back and forth, and went to boot camp. And we started dating when he came back from boot camp before he left to go to Norfolk. That's where he was stationed.
So you started dating then in 87?
Yes.
And he graduated from high school when?
1984.
So that's a 3-year span between graduation for him mm-hmm. and before he left. Do you have any idea what made him decide to join the Army? The Navy?
He called me up one day and said, "Steph, you never guess what I did today?" And said, "I joined the Navy." I said, "Like, why would you do something like that?" And he said, he felt like he had no other choice. He had like nothing going for him. He'd gone to school for 2 years at Newcastle School of Trades for electrical engineering, but nothing ever came of that. So he just more or less felt like he had to do something. Plus his family was having like financial trouble. His dad just lost a job, whatever, and he felt, you know, in order to try and help him out to get out of the house, he would join the Navy. So that's what he did. Shocked everybody.
It did,
yeah.
Including you.
Oh yeah.
Did he tell you this after you started dating, or was it before you
before.
Started?
Before.
Okay.
I think it was like, I want to say May or June, something like that. Okay. Yeah, what shocker, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so he started in 87 then, and he was in Norfolk, Virginia
mm-hmm.
the whole time?
Right. He's in station there for 4 years.
Okay. How did him being away then affect your relationship once you started dating?
It's been real, real hard. But as like they say, distance makes the heart go fonder. So it's been tough. It's been real tough, but it's been well worth it. And weathered the storm, I guess. I think it's made us stronger being apart. You know, I look forward to being together when you guys come home. So I think, it's been well worth it.
When he was there, how often did he get to come home? Or how often did you get to see him? Yes, when he was in Virginia.
Probably just a week in the month, if that. Sometimes it was months in between. It wasn't. Because he only has like 1 weekend off a month now, so it wasn't too often, unless he went on like leave for 2 weeks or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, it wasn't too often. I would go down there occasionally.
But. So it wasn't so bad thus far?
No.
And you were able to communicate by phone and by letters?
Yeah, we talked quite a bit, You couldn't come home. You know, certain days he told me he was going to call, and that helped a little bit, just hearing his voice.
Do you think then, while he was in Virginia, that he felt the Navy was a good choice, he had made a good choice in joining?
He said that he's glad, sometimes he felt he's glad he did it, and sometimes not. He's got to see a lot. He's been to, like, all over the world. So in that respect, you know, he's got to do a lot, see a lot of places. He's got to save some money because he's got that, I think it's called the GI Bill, where they put money away. You get to go to college, like when you get out of service or whatever. So, I mean, there's good points to it. And, you know, he's got to see a lot of places. That's probably the biggest, that's a good point. Being apart is probably the lead, that's why he doesn't know why he joined, being apart. So.
Mm-hmm. All right, so things were going fairly smoothly, and your relationship progressed to the point of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
When
engaged. February of 89.
And when did you plan to get married?
September 8th, 1990. I hope these dates are right. I'm a little fuzzy on them, but
that's okay.
Pretty close.
Okay, so you were engaged, planning a wedding, and then his deployment orders came. When was this?
It was a few months before then that he had called and told me that there was no way they could get married in September because they said there really wasn't a reason they could tell him. They just said there's no way that you can get married in September. They wouldn't tell him exactly what the reason was. This must have been like in June. We scratched those plans for September 8th. And I went down to Norfolk to pick him up for, he was coming home on a 2-week leave. August, I think it was August 11th of 90. It was a Friday afternoon when I got there, and I pulled into the parking lot and I saw Jeff, and he came up to the car, never said hello or anything, and had this look on his face, and I said, "What's wrong?" And he said that, it's all over now. And he was getting, they were going to go within 10 days of that day, so that he couldn't come home. So I stayed down there for the weekend, and I left Monday morning, and he called me that night and said they were leaving the next morning for the Gulf. So that was around probably August 14th, and they left the next day to go to Morehead City, South Carolina, in North Carolina. I wanted to pick up Marines to leave for the Gulf. Such a pain. Oh, Lordy.
Did he say then that he had any idea how long they would have to stay there?
He had no idea whatsoever. No idea whatsoever. So that made it even harder, not knowing when I was going to see him again. That was the hardest thing.
So I guess it's pretty evident how you must have felt when you heard he had to leave. Did you ever expect he would have to go off to war?
Oh, never. Mm-mm. Never, ever. Never even entered my mind. I don't think he ever did either, so.
Even though he was serving in the Army?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so he had just about almost a year and a half left when he left
right.
to serve in the Navy. When he had to go to the call.
Alright,
so once he was there, were you able to talk to him while he was there? How were communications?
I think from the time he left, from the time I talked to him that Monday night when he told me they were leaving the next day, it was quite a while before I talked to him on the phone. Because they didn't touch land from the time they left. After picking up the Marines in Morehead City, they didn't touch land for 110 days. So it was probably a good month and a half until I talked to him again. And that was when they finally, hit land. So, and then after that, maybe twice a month I talked to him. Well, it was probably a total, he was gone 8 months and 4 days. And I probably talked to him maybe a total of 6 times in that period of time. We talked for, approximately 20 minutes to a half hour probably each call.
Was it strictly him calling you?
Yeah.
Could you call there at all?
No. He had to call from like different places where they could find the phone. Sometimes it was in a hotel lobby, and it was like real hard getting through because there was such a distance between us that the operator it took time for him to get through from over there to here. So.
How about the mails? What were those like? Mail system.
It worked. I mean, the mail came, I wouldn't say regularly. I probably got a letter probably once or twice a month, yeah. I wrote him every day, and he got most of my letters, he said. So, but I guess the mail system did it. You know, I guess it could be being so, clear over there.
So how was that like having him gone.
It was awful. It was the worst time in my whole life. Worst. It was awful. I didn't want to go to work. Just didn't want to do anything. It was awful. Just awful.
Did you see any reason then? Any justification that he was over there? Or did you blame the Navy, or how did you feel then? How did you feel toward the war?
I knew since he was in service, there was always that risk. I never really thought about, you know, him going to war, like you said, but he did join the service, and, you know, things do happen like this, I guess, you know, every so often, but, I guess it was justification that he was over there. He was over there fighting for his country, so, I mean, he knew that when he signed up, so. It was just a shocker. It's, you know, why could they pick somebody else in the Navy to go? So,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was real bad.
Did you watch the the CNN had 24 hours?
Oh yeah.
Did you watch that?
For right at the beginning, I was in front of that TV constantly. I mean, CNN, I just love for CNN because, you know, they had good coverage. That's all they talked about from, you know, morning to night. So, no, I don't know if I was expecting to hear something about the Trent on there or that was the ship Jeff was on, but just anything. I was just hoping for any kind of news that, you know, it was resolved and they're coming home or just anything. I live for the news.
Did watching it make you feel better then?
Sometimes it did, like when the news, like when it was bad news or something else happened that day to like fuel the fire. I wish I would, you know, wouldn't have been watching it, but for the most part, I'm glad I did watch it, you know, sort of ease my mind, you know, some days. So.
Mm-hmm. During this time, then, what did you do to cope with his absence?
Well, like I said, I wrote him every single day he was gone. Didn't miss a day. I read a lot. Slept a lot. Watched TV, watched the news. I did cross-stitch. I mailed him packages, got together packages to send them. Whatever I could find to do.
Were you still planning a wedding at this time?
For some reason, which I can't remember why, I don't know if we thought they were coming back. I don't know if we heard they were going to be gone for 6 months and then come home. So we rescheduled the wedding for February 16th, 1991. And because we must have thought they were coming back, or I don't know, but it must have been the beginning of January when we realized that there was no way this could go off. No way in the world this could go off February 16th. We called everybody and canceled that time, and we just waited until I knew for sure Jeff was home, and it was going to stay home. Set another date. But that was real bad too. It was real hard. But everybody was real nice about changing the wedding plans because of the situation. They knew, you know, we had nothing to, you know, couldn't stop it. So everybody was real good about it.
You mean as far as
like the people we contracted for the wedding.
How about, did you get a lot of support from your friends and family?
Oh, yeah. Could have done it without everybody. Yeah, without anybody. We got, in fact, it was a support group that, I think it was the Red Cross, that got together right after almost everybody left, September, October. We went for one time, but it didn't seem to help. Jeff's mom and I went for one time, and it didn't seem to help us any. So we just, more or less,
us.
We were not together with everybody else, had our little own support group. So.
What was the support group like? The organized one you went to?
That's why we never went again. It was just like, to us, we felt no better after we left there. I mean, there was people there, it was just like, you know, we didn't feel close to them because we didn't know. I don't know what it was, we just thought it was a big joke as far as that goes. So we just never went back. Nothing against them or anything, it's just that, you know, we didn't feel we should be there, so.
Mm-hmm.
So we just made our own little support group.
So do you think then, if there could be a positive thing out of the whole situation, that Jeff being gone, did that bring you closer to his family?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because I think I talk to Jeff's mom like every day, you know. If I heard something or if she heard something, I let her know and she let me know. And, you know, we send cards to each other to keep the support up and keep good thoughts, and we'll be home soon and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yeah. We were close before, but this just like, you know, brought us even closer together. No, we were in the same boat. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I couldn't have done it with everybody, because the people at work, I know it was hard to work with, because I would just go to work and I wouldn't want to talk to anybody. It was just awful. It was terrible, but made it through.
Did you ever think that Jeff might not have come home from the call?
No, I don't. I never wanted to think.
But he did finally come home.
Yeah.
And when was that?
I think we got the news probably the middle of March, that the tentative date for them to pull into Norfolk was on April 17th. Because there was a number I could call. It was a family service center in Norfolk that, for the Navy. You could call this 800 number, and I would call and I'd ask for the USS Trenton phone line, and they'd connect me, and there'd be a message on there. Keep the family updated, family and friends updated on what the Trent was doing over there, and how the guys were doing, and when they thought they would come back, and all this stuff. But that helped a lot. I called that, I think, every day, because that message was updated every few days. It's different messages. Some was from the captain sometimes, telling, you know, how they were all doing, and they missed everybody for holidays, and that they would be home well soon, and keep our spirits up. So that helped a lot, the hotline or the 800 number we had to call.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it was like the middle of March when I called, and they said that they had a tentative homecoming date. And it was April 17th, and they would keep, you know, let us know whenever they could that it was, you know, for definite. And they did pull in on April 17th. Thank you. Tell you about when we went down there?
Sure.
It was me, my mother, my father, my brother and his girlfriend, Jeff's mom, Jeff's dad, and Jeff's brother, and one of his aunts. We all left the 15th to drive down to Norfolk. We bought a motel and everything. We stayed the night, and the morning of the 17th, we all got up and went. It was at the Norfolk Naval Base. They pulled in around 11 o'clock in the morning, and it was wonderful. It was the best day of my life. We videoed it and photographed and everything. It was just great. It was so exciting. When I first saw it, it was wonderful. Oh, unbelievable.
What was the first thing you thought when you saw him?
Do you remember? I just remember looking, because we walked, me and Lori, well, my girlfriend Lori went too because she was dating one of Jeff's buddies on the ship. I remember running down the little place there along the ocean, whatever it's called, and I remember looking up, and the ship was full on the side, not the big ship, and I remember looking up, and I'm looking for Jeff, and I see two guys pointing at us, and I'm like, oh my God, there he is! It was wonderful. I was so excited. Oh my God. It was like half sick. So I ran up, and I ran up the steps, and there was 10 million people in front of me. I'm like, get out of the way! It was absolutely wonderful. So we got up at the top of the ship, and there was all these people up there, and I was just looking around. As soon as I saw them, I was like, oh my God. I started crying, of course. And oh, it was just wonderful. It was absolutely wonderful.
What was he like when he got off the ship?
He was all real glad to see us, and he had these black glasses on, which he didn't tell us until afterwards. He said that he goes, do you know why I wore those glasses? And I'm like, no, I never really even thought why you wear glasses. Because most guys, he's the type that won't cry, you know, won't show any emotion, but he was crying, and he said that's why he, you know, wore those glasses. But he was more excited than he let on, you know, he said his stomach was all, they were gone for a long time, and he missed being home, so, but it was great, it was absolutely wonderful, We made banners and put on the fences, and we decorated the hotel room when he came back, we put signs up, welcome back, you know, Jeff, and we had the dinner that night. Celebrate and come back, and we left the next day to come back. He had 2 weeks off after he pulled back in, and we drove back to Youngstown the next day, and we had like a little, you know, welcome home party, whatever. But then I think we pulled back, came back here Thursday or Friday, and then I had a surprise party for him. I think it was on a Sunday, but he knew nothing about. We had signs up and cake, and it was real nice. He really enjoyed himself because he knew nothing about it. His family was there and friends, and it was just real nice.
Mm-hmm.
Real nice.
So finally, he was home, and were you able to plan your wedding again?
Again. Trying to think of me. Well, since, you know, I said, Jeff, do you think we're going to be able to do it, you know, do it this time? And he said, yeah, but they were supposed to be in a place called the Yards. That's where they the ship goes to get fixed and painted and everything, since they were gone for so long. So that meant it was going to be out of the water. There was no way they could leave. They were going to be there from a little bit after the time they pulled in, April 17th, till they just left October, like October 14th or something like that. So it had like for sure to be between those dates, just to be, you know, safe. So we got married September 14th, and everything was wonderful. Best day of my life.
During that time between April then and your wedding, did you ever think that something again might happen?
Well, I did personally, and then when the thing came on about, what was it over there? It was going on not too long ago. Oh, and like Russia, when they had that coup.
Mm-hmm.
Jeff's mom said she had these thoughts of them, you know, taking Jeff back over to help out over there, and that never even entered my mind until after she said that. So I was thinking for a few days, I'm thinking, Stephen has to leave and I'll die. But things worked out, and he didn't have to leave again, so things went off quite well.
That's great. Do you, he's done December 14th.
Right.
For good.
Right. He's on his last underway mission right now. He'll be back. They left yesterday. He'll be back Friday. So this is his last time out to sea on the ship. So
mm-hmm.
He's pretty excited.
Is he going to re-enlist?
No. He has he doesn't want to at all. I mean, he's done his duty. He said it's time for him to get out and get on with his life. Be close to his family, you know, be home for the holidays. He's only been home for Christmas, and that was in 1988. So he's missed every holiday, and 4 years are done, and, you know, he's glad, you know, he did it. It's, you know, it's an experience and everything. Like I said, he's, you know, seen a lot, but he's definitely ready to get out. Definitely ready.
Was the war, you think, the deciding factor? No, I'm not going to re-enlist.
That was probably the final, that's probably what did it. Because he, you know, was telling me he's never going to re-enlist, this was before, but I think after that, he doesn't want any part to have, any part to do with it, so.
Do you think that, I mean, it's hard having your wedding postponed twice, having to go through this three separate times. Do you think that that was all in the line of duty also, or do you blame the Navy? Do you think they misled you at all?
Oh, no, no, no. Mm-hmm. No, but when they told Jeff back in June that, you know, there's no way he could be home in September for the wedding the first time, they could have at least told him. I don't know if it was such a top secret thing that they couldn't tell him or what, but they could have given him a little idea of why he couldn't come home. They just didn't give him a reason at all.
Mm-hmm.
They just wasn't okay as a leave for them. We just thought they would be, you know, would be in SOB, you know what I mean? They were, you know, trying to get it back for something, but here, must have been all in their plans. They knew what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad, you know, they told us, you know, it was bad enough when they told us, but like 4 months before or whatever, then waiting until all the invitations were out, and, you know, a week before or whatever. So I guess. But I think God had his plan. I mean, things worked out really well. I think, you know, things must have just been meant to go like this,
mm-hmm.
for some reason. I think it all worked out for the best. So.
Did you try to keep the positive attitude that you have now during the whole time he was gone?
Oh, I tried. Some days, it was real hard. Some days I'm like, you know, it was awful, but I tried to keep a positive attitude most of the time.
What would you do if he wanted to re-enlist again?
Oh, I told him. I told Jeff, I said, that's totally up to you. That, you know, if you want to re-enlist, I'm all for it. You know, I'll support you and all that. And that I just moved down there and it wouldn't, you know, be so hard for us to be apart. Because I don't want him to think, you know, well, she doesn't want me to re-enlist, so I'm not re-enlisting for her. That's what I did. You know, if he wants to re-enlist, that's fine. If he doesn't want to re-enlist, that's fine. But, he doesn't want to re-enlist, and I know that's coming from his heart. I know that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, because he's counting down now. It's not like 31 days, so I can't wait. Yeah, so.
Do you think the war changed his attitude about the Navy at all, from what you can tell from him?
Not really. I really don't. I was worried about when he came back that, you know, he'd be a different person, you know, for being gone so long, and he'd be like strange or something, but the war never really, I never felt, I mean, it was like when he came back that we'd been apart for a little while, but not, you know, anything major, which made it nice. That's what I was worried about, you know, I felt like we had to get to know each other again, but, you know, through letters and through phone calls, we tried to keep the best contact we could, so. But as far as his attitude, I don't think it changed anything towards me, you know.
That was going to be my next question. Did the war change him at all, do you think?
No, I don't think so, really. I don't know if it might have if he was, like, on the front lines, or if he saw stuff that, you know, might have haunted him, or, you know, made him have nightmares or whatever, but with him being on the ship, be on the water, They were, I think the closest he said they were like 3 miles off the coast of Kuwait, if I'm not mistaken, that's what he said. But they never really saw any of the, you know, hard action that I'm sure some, most of the guys did, like in the army or whatever. Which is good, I'm glad, because, you know, it very well may have changed them, but he's still the same person as when he left. So, mm-hmm. I was glad for that. Real glad. Because there was supposed to be a mission that they were supposed to do, but something happened, and he would have been on land, but something happened so that they had to scratch that plan, which I had known until after Gamble told me that, but I was glad. He was sort of disappointed because he wanted in on some of the action, I guess, but. For my sake, I'm glad he wasn't.
Definitely. Yeah.
Definitely. So,
definitely. Is there anything else that you feel we haven't talked about that you'd like to add?
Just like I said before, I hope nobody has, I mean, I hope nobody has to go through what I went through. I mean, it seemed like a long time for me, 8 months. But I just hope nobody has to go through what I went through. It was awful. It was just, you just can't, you know, you don't know how somebody feels unless you go through it yourself. It was just, like I said, the worst time of my life. I hope, you know, there's no wars for forever and ever, if that's possible. So nobody has to go through it, but. Real hard.
Do you think perhaps in a way that him being gone and everything that happened in a way prepared you to deal with other emotions? I mean, did it prepare you at all for your married life with him? I mean, you were apart.
Well, I think since we made it through this, I think we can make it through anything, because that was, real difficult. The one must have been his senior chief or something, made a comment to him that this is going to be a real test for your relationship. This is before they even knew they were going. I think he told him this when we had to cancel wedding for the first time. He made the comment that this is going to be a real test for your relationship. I mean, you know, we didn't know what he meant. Well, I told Jeff, I said, now we know what he meant. So going through this, I think there's nothing else that can even come close to this. So I think since we made it through this quite well, we can deal with pretty much anything that comes along. So in that respect, I think it did help us, you know, get ready for our married life. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Is there anything else?
Just glad it's home. Glad the war's over. I think we're over there for a reason. I'm not glad the guys had to go, but, you know, President Bush said, you know, they had to go, so I think most people think that we were there for the right reason.
Mm-hmm.
Or something, so. But I'm just glad everybody's home. I'm glad Jeff's home. Everybody around me is glad Jeff's home. Don't have to deal with me anymore.
Okay, Stephanie, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.